everyone, welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom and our fitness article. And it's the 8th of December, and we're so glad that you are able to join us today. We're going to be talking about eating and working out. I don't know if you thought that these two habits that we have go together, but they do, and they affect one another. So if you have your magazine, why don't you take this opportunity to open it to page 18? And I'd like to introduce who I have with me in the studio today.
Hi, everyone. I'm Campbell. It's great to be here.
Hello, friends. This is Liz, and I'm happy to be here, too.
Hi, everyone. I'm Anna, and this is my first time on the Advanced Radio program.
And we're so happy to have you with us today, Anna. And I'm Linda, and I'll be leading our discussion today. So if you notice that our article today is about eating habits when working out, and if you've never thought about that, well, we're going to be talking about it today and tomorrow, and it really does have a big effect on our workout, on our health, on our body. And it says to be mindful of what you eat and drink during regular exercise. That's right, isn't it, Liz?
Absolutely. Most of us, when it comes to eating, no problem. We love it. And then the idea of exercising, that's a little harder for a lot of people. And then I know some people, they work out so much that they find food to be their enemy because they're so desperate trying to lose weight, trying to get that figure that they dream of getting, and they think food is their enemy. But mm-hmm. It's not supposed to be that way.
Yeah, actually, when you don't eat after you exercise, you're actually working against your body because your body needs that fuel to rebuild itself.
Exactly.
That's right. So that's a little introduction about what we're going to be talking about today. So if you have your magazines open or you have your iPad or mobile device and have it open to our fitness article, we would like you to look at the left-hand column and let's read that first.
Eating habits when working out. Be mindful of what you eat and drink during regular exercise. If you want to be more fit, especially if you are an athlete, pay attention to what you eat and drink when you're exercising and when you eat or drink. Timing has a major effect on the results of your workout. Location is no obstacle to exercise. A workout doesn't have to take place in a gym or on a bike or running trail. Good exercise can be mundane activities such as vacuuming, gardening, or cleaning out the garage. Anything that requires repetitive use of your muscles or causes you to move in extended ranges of motion for longer than 15 minutes at a time can be considered a workout, especially if it raises your heart rate.
So our article starts with talking about wanting to be more fit, and I think that most of us in our listening audience and definitely those of us here in our studio all have this goal. And if you're an athlete, you really need to pay attention to two things. And what are they, Campbell?
Well, they are that you need to pay attention to what you eat and drink when you're exercising, and when you eat or drink.
Right, and you alluded to that before, saying that most of us don't eat like after we exercise, but that's a very crucial time.
Right, exactly, and we'll talk more about that later, because that's when your body is refueling, and your body needs the food for energy to rebuild itself.
Okay, so we see that timing really does have a major effect on the results of your workout. Now, Liz, you exercise quite a bit, and have you found this to be true?
Oh, absolutely. For starters, you may think that, well, it's all about just burning calories. I have this X amount of fat that I want to get rid of. And to some extent, that is true. Mm-hmm. But then after a while, your body becomes, think of it as a machine, and you need to maintain it. And that's where food comes in.
Right.
And that's why you need to pick the right kind of food and make sure you get the food into your system at the right time.
Right.
Okay, good. And we see that location should not be any obstacle to exercise. I think how we view exercise also has been changing over the years. We used to think of it as we have to go to the gym or we have to go to a running track or outside and we have to run for 25 miles.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody feel that way?
Yes. Well, I used to. But, I mean, we see here that exercise can actually take place anywhere. And good exercise can be mundane activities such as vacuuming, gardening, or cleaning out the garage.
What do you do that's mundane, Campbell?
Well, I don't know if it's mundane, but I play with my children. You know, I pick them up, and they're kind of getting heavy, so that's a good weight workout. You know, and they get my heart rate going. So.
Well, if we look at the true definition of mundane, it says not interesting. So I don't think you would call that maybe mundane, right?
Exactly. But it is day-to-day. It's not the typical exercise that you might do with a weight machine or a dumbbell. But they, you know, you get to play with them and you get some exercise that way.
Right. Especially if you find yourself to be the kind of person who's just way too busy. You don't have time to schedule meeting a friend for a run or going down to the gym.
Right.
But just trying to be active. Maybe you have some files that you need to send to another department. Instead of taking the elevator, take the stairs, for example.
What? No.
What about you, Anna?
I find that just walking to and from work or just walking around the city, doing my shopping, it's definitely over 15 minutes, then it's raising my heart rate. And it's good exercise, especially if there are stairs involved, like Liz said.
Okay, so we can see that there are a lot of things we can just do in our daily routine that we can count as exercise.
Right.
And I like it that vacuuming is not easy if you do it, if you just do more than the middle of the floor.
Right, if you do it properly.
Right, but they're talking about anything that requires repetitive use of muscles, right, and or causes you to move in extended ranges of motion.
Right.
For longer than 15 minutes at a time.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think the thing is, with our lifestyle nowadays in modern society, it's very sedentary, which means that we just sit around a lot. You know, we sit around in our offices, we sit around in our cubicles, we sit in our living room watching TV. We don't move enough. So I think what this is telling us is that we just need to get up and move.
That's right. And now, this is a different article entirely,
yes,
or a different topic, but now it's being said that sitting is the new cigarette smoking in our health.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be very careful about that because really we do sit a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we have to look at a couple of things here. First, that it's extended ranges of motion. What does that mean, an extended range of motion?
You have to make sure your body's really moving a lot, big movements. So in other words, I can't just open my mouth and close it again and again. That's not really a lot of movement.
Or just move my fingers on the keyboard and say, oh, that's my exercise for the day.
How about moving my fork to my mouth? That's not far enough, is it?
No.
Okay, and it has to be, the time is also important. It should be for longer than 15 minutes. So it should raise your heart rate. That's the most important.
So if you're moving some heavy stuff in your garage or maybe in your closet, and you hoisted one box, that doesn't count.
Okay, you have to hoist two. Okay, so you want to get your heart rate going. That's the important part.
That is the important thing, yes.
Okay, so let's go to the second column now, and let's read this next little section called Energy to Exercise.
Energy to Exercise. So how does eating and drinking fit into this scenario? The energy for a workout, whether it's a marathon or mowing the lawn, comes from glycogen, which are carbohydrates stored in muscles and the liver. When glycogen stores are exhausted, you bonk. But you can't just chow down carbs right before exercising and hope to have that energy available immediately. Your metabolism needs time to process and store those carbs, which is why many marathons have a pasta party the night before the race.
So we have a question to start out our discussion with right now. It says, how does eating and drinking fit into the scenario of not having obstacles to exercise, right? And scenario is just a description of actions or events that can happen. So you want to imagine yourself doing something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the energy for a workout, and we have a couple of different scenarios here, marathon running or mowing the lawn. Mm-hmm. Have you ever thought about those two things in the same sentence?
No.
But it's demonstrating the whole point. You have intentional activity, the marathon. You plan for it. You prepare for it. And then mowing the lawn is something that's considered a chore, a regular thing you would do and not so special.
But it's good alliteration, the M and the M there.
That's true.
Marathon or mowing.
Yeah, that's right. But actually mowing the lawn takes a lot. I mean, it depends upon the size of your yard, of course, but it does take a lot of effort and really can raise your heart rate.
True.
I suppose if you have one of those riding lawn mowers, it doesn't really help too much.
Right.
Okay, we're talking about push mowers here. And the energy comes from what, Liz?
It's called glycogen. Glycogen, a specialized term, definitely. This is not a word you would see normally. We usually think of words like sugar. But glycogen, something that your body would process. It's found in the liver and muscles. And basically all that sugar, the starch that you eat, you need those things because your liver, your muscles, they need that sugar from the carbohydrates, the pasta. And that's what's helping you have that controlled sugar level in your blood.
Right, and it has a direct influence on the body's energy, and it really determines our stamina and endurance that we have. Mm-hmm. And it's part of our secondary and long-term storage, the kind of the little, if you look, think of it as like a little storage unit in your body.
Right, so if you're not eating properly and you're starving yourself intentionally, thinking that that's your way of getting thin and you're still working out crazy, you're going to feel yourself exhausted very quickly because you have nothing stored up.
Right, exactly. And I think there's a lot of fad diets out there where people don't eat carbohydrates, but we see here that carbohydrates are actually very important to the functioning of your body.
Mm-hmm. Right. And they turn into sugar, which your body needs for the energy. That's basically what we're saying.
Yes.
And we go on to see that when the glycogen stores are exhausted, what happens to you, Anna?
You bonk. You have no energy and you just can't do any more work.
Okay, so this word bonk, it's not that common of a word.
You know, and it is so true. It's happened to me before when I did not eat properly before a very intense workout. Suddenly, you just can't move. You barely lift your arm. Mm-hmm. That sense of, it's a really funny feeling.
Okay, anybody else ever had this happen?
Oh,
how about
for
you,
sure.
Campbell?
For sure, definitely. And I think the thing is that, you know, we keep talking about not eating. When you don't eat, you're going to bonk faster. You're just not going to be able to have the energy to exercise. So it's kind of counterproductive.
Okay.
Right.
So be sure to eat before you, like, vacuum.
Yeah, I'll have that piece of pie. Yeah.
Sugar.
Yes.
Okay, so we see that usually when we... talking about this verb bonk, usually when we hear the word bonk, you know, we say I bonked my head or somebody bonked me over the head, right?
Mm.
Which
but
you
we're
don't
not,
really want to happen.
No, no, it's not a nice thing to do.
No. But here it just means to run out of energy, to stall. It says to stall in the middle of a run or some activity, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but what can't you do? There's something that you can't do. You think, okay, now I'm bonked. Okay, I don't want to say it that way, right?
Right.
Now, okay, so now I'm stalling. I can't do any more. So what do you not want to do, Liz?
Well, you don't just think, well, I'm tired. I have no fuel, no sugar. So, okay, I will eat some more. Have a bowl of pasta. That's not going to help.
Right then. You're talking
about it at
that moment,
at that moment, no. That's not a good thing to do. You're actually... you're going to feel sick.
Right. According to our article, it says you can't just chow down carbs right before exercising and hope to have that energy available immediately. Remember, when you eat food, it needs time to digest and process and then get into your body for you to be able to use it. So eating it right away, you're not going to be able to use it right away.
So if you haven't really stored up glycogen or carbohydrates in your body, like the night before, the day before, and you want to exercise, what should you do?
Well, there are different kinds of carbohydrates, so you have to pick your snacks carefully, and you also have to time yourself properly. So the closer you are towards your workout, the simpler the sugar. So that's why for certain athletes, they'll just go straight to candy. Straight sugar.
So if I'm going to exercise, I can have a candy bar right beforehand.
Candy bar may actually be a little too rich. Straight sugar. Some people I know, they just go straight for honey, in fact.
Right. Okay. But see, here's the thing, though. You have to be careful. I mean, we're talking about this taking this carb with exercise, right? So it's not just, oh, well, they said we need to eat carbs, so you're just eating pasta and candy all the time and you're not exercising. The whole point is that you're using this energy, this glycogen, for exercise.
Right. Thus the topic of this section called Energy to Exercise.
Right. Right. And if you notice the next sentence, your metabolism needs time to process. The point is you need to give your body time to prepare. It's like cooking. You don't just buy stuff from the grocery and expect that you're going to eat everything up. Mm. You still got to wash your vegetables, slice them, cut them, cook them before you eat them.
Right.
And it's the same thing with your body. It needs time to prepare and have that chemical process to take all that food that you've eaten and swallowed and change that into energy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what part do vegetables have in exercising? Because we've been talking purely about, when we think of carbs, we think of pasta, bread, things like that.
Mm-hmm. That's
but
one
what
kind.
What about vegetables?
Vegetables and fruit also, they're carbohydrates as well. They also give you the kind of sugar you need, and fiber, which is also carbohydrates.
Yes.
And starches as well. So there are two different kinds of carbohydrates. There are sugars and starches. And so fruits and vegetables give you the both kinds of carbohydrates there.
Okay. We see that, we've had two different terms that we've just been using now. Let's look at this idiom, chow down. Usually we use this when people are really hungry and we say, oh, he really chowed down.
Right.
Which means what?
It means to eat. It means to eat very quickly and enthusiastically.
Like you have never eaten before and you've been starving and this may be your very last meal.
Or we might say, you know, at Thanksgiving, let's chow down, you know.
Right.
And chow actually is another term for food.
Yes.
So we put this together. It means to put your food down or to eat your food.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this came like from the West, the Old West in the United States. If you watch Western movies, you'll often see cowboys in particular saying it's chow time, which mm-hmm. means it's food time or it's time to eat. So it's just kind of a slang word for food.
Right. Some people might say, I'm going to go get me some chow. That may not be standard grammar.
But I'm going to get me some chow.
Yeah, get me some chow. It means I'm going to get some food for myself.
Right. And if you have dogs or animals, I mean, there's even a brand of dog food called puppy chow.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning puppy food. Okay.
Yes.
So we've chowed down these carbs. And then metabolism. We didn't really talk about what metabolism means. It's a chemical process that does what, Campbell?
Well, it's a chemical process in your body, especially those that cause food to be used for energy and growth. Basically, it's a way for your body to process the food and turn it into energy. So I like to think of metabolism as kind of like a furnace. You put the food in and it burns the food and it creates energy for you.
Okay, and which is what we need when we exercise for sure.
Right.
Okay. Otherwise, you're going to bonk.
Yes.
Okay. You don't want that to happen.
So that's why they say that before marathons, a lot of marathon runners or people that are under heavy exercise have a pasta party the night before because you want to get that energy from the spaghetti or whatever form of pasta that you might be going to eat.
Right. And some people might actually be quite picky with the kind of carbohydrates they get too, because they know, yes, I need my carbohydrates, but because of their metabolism, they may pick rice over pasta, for example, because rice is less processed, so it takes more time to break down, and that would actually allow them to have that energy a little bit longer, while pasta being processed burns up quicker, in a more quicker fashion.
Okay.
It's quite fascinating. Some people will actually be that picky about mm-hmm. the kind of carbs they're going to take.
Mm. Right.
So if you're going to eat pasta, would it be better to eat whole? Okay, let's talk about this, whole wheat versus white.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, would it be better to eat a whole wheat kind of pasta than the traditional kind?
Some people would argue, yes, whole wheat would be better. But other people would say, no, the traditional kind might be better because you need your sugar fast.
Okay, but you're eating it the night before.
Right. So in that case, but it also depends on what kind of workout. Is it a long distance or is it a really short burst kind of a workout?
Right.
So if you're going to be running a marathon, I mean, we're preparing for the next day. What do you do in the morning before the marathon? What are we going to eat?
You would drink water, for
definitely.
Sure. Definitely. Yeah, definitely drink water. I think it'd just be good to get some of that, you know, get some of that good food in you. You know, you can get fruits and vegetables, things that will sustain you throughout the run.
Okay, right. So we're not talking about pasta for breakfast.
No, although I might see some people doing that even. Right. The important thing is to understand how your body works, and you need to fuel it. And different bodies, the mechanism's different, mm-hmm. and we all work at a different rate. And so you need to get your sugar in, but you need to just try things out. Don't be afraid to fuel up.
Right. Okay. And you need to know your body, too, and
how
it really works efficiently for you.
Yeah. Right.
And age affects it, too. You know, when you're younger, your metabolism is a lot faster than when you're older. And mm-hmm, Linda is
definitely
nodding profusely right now.
Right.
I'm the oldest person in the room. Okay, well, now we've exercised, and now we need to recover. So let's read this next section called The Body's Recovery.
The body's recovery. After muscles have been worked, they go into a stage called protein synthesis, which is basically recovery from the exercise. At this point, the muscles are open and ready to absorb protein. Steak, chicken, or fish make a good meal to eat within an hour or so after a workout. If you can stand the taste, whey protein has been scientifically proven to increase the speed of protein synthesis and help you recover faster from any exercise session. If you take amino acids immediately post-workout is the time to ingest them. That's when they have the best chance of being fully metabolized.
So now we've exercised and now we want to recover. And one of the ways that we recover, it says that it's especially important for your muscles. They've been worked out and they go into a stage called protein synthesis. So what is this, Campbell?
Protein synthesis is basically a recovery from the process, from the exercise. So it's where your body is rebuilding your muscles.
Okay. So the muscles need something. That's what we're saying, basically,
correct.
Right?
Correct.
Okay. So at this point, the muscles are open and ready to absorb protein. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, to build muscle cells, your body needs protein. And the cool thing about this is in order to take protein and change it into muscle cells, you need a lot of calories, mm-hmm. which is why strength training, if you're pumping weights, building your muscle, you are actually burning a lot of calories because all those calories are necessary to get your muscle cells growing.
Right. I actually want to talk a little bit about a myth that a lot of people have. They think, a lot of people, when they're trying to get healthy, they focus a lot on the scale and the weight. Mm-hmm. But that's actually not very accurate because muscle weighs a lot more than fat. So a lot of times when you're building muscle, you'll actually gain weight. So you'll be looking at the scale, you're like, I'm working so hard, I'm trying to eat right, but why am I getting heavier? But actually, that's a good thing.
True. And also, I like to add, if you're comparing two kinds of activities, let's say you're going to go for a run, which is a cardio, fat burning, versus building muscle, you're actually burning more fat, perhaps, doing the cardio. But because you're building muscles, 24 hours later, 48 hours later, your body is still requiring calories to repair what you've been building.
Right.
So we're looking at steak, chicken, or fish after we exercise. But what Liz was saying was we need all kinds of calories from different food items.
You should, yeah. You should have a well-balanced diet. We tend to see all these fads, trends, telling us to focus more on one thing or the mm-hmm. other. But you need everything.
Yeah.
Right.
I think that's something that we should all pay really close attention to and practice in our lives because really, it's the the high protein diet, no carb diet,
Right.
Mm-hmm.
None of this is good for you.
No, you just definitely want something very balanced.
Mm-hmm.
And also, again, about the timing, it's saying here, you want to take your steak, chicken, fish within an hour or so after a workout. So that's where your body is most open to absorbing this protein and rebuilding your muscles, which is going to help you with your metabolism in the long run.
The good news is, for those of you who are vegetarians or vegans, you don't have to worry. People worry, I don't eat meat. What about me? Well, there are other alternatives. You could do eggs. Well, and if you're a vegan, soy.
Okay, so we have a lot of alternatives here to help us to build up and repair those muscles. And it says if you can stand the taste, then you can use whey protein. And that is just leftover cheese products from dairy. This has been scientifically proven to increase the speed of protein synthesis, and it helps you recover faster. Anybody take whey protein here?
I've done it before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I used to exercise more regularly, I used to take whey protein. It did help me get more, you know, to bulk up a bit and make me stronger, bigger muscles.
And the taste?
It took getting used to, but, you know, you can, there's ways around it, making it taste better, yeah.
And it also says then if you take amino acids, immediately post-workout is the best time to ingest them.
Mm-hmm.
And ingest just means to eat them.
Right. And amino acids are the building blocks of your muscles. So you need the amino, or proteins actually. So amino acids are what build up the protein, which build up your muscles.
Right. The key thing is to eat, to refuel, get that food in, and ideally within the first 30 minutes after a workout.
So if you want to exercise in the evening, you should eat dinner after you exercise?
Not necessarily. It depends on how you work it out. Some people break it up into part one and part two.
Mm-hmm.
I have something before I work out, and I have a little something afterwards.
Okay, and you save the protein for afterwards.
Or you can have it both ways, too.
Okay.
You could, and again, it depends on how quickly you can get all that food digested before your workout, because
right.
You could be throwing up.
Yes.
So what would be the ideal time to eat before you're going to work out if you're going to have a little something?
I would say if you can get the food in at least an hour before your workout, that's most ideal. Otherwise, change it into a small snack and then have your meal afterwards.
Okay. And that's all we have for you today. We hope that you'll join us again tomorrow. We're going to be talking about hydration or dehydration in exercising. And we hope that you've learned something today. I certainly have, that I think I'm going to apply to when I think about exercising anyway. And thank you all for being with me today. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Bye.